Adam, have you gotten a booster?
I have. I was one of the 15 million esteemed Johnson & Johnson vaccine recipients back earlier this year. And I mix and match, too. I got Pfizer.
Oh, mix and match guy. Yeah. I wonder how much you can tell about a person's personality from their mix and match strategy, what they choose.
The main thing you could tell from me is I'm lazy because it was just the closest CVS.
The newest efforts to slow it down. The FDA is expected to authorize a Pfizer COVID boosters for all adults as soon as tomorrow.
I'm Jeremy Siegel. This is Politico Dispatch. And today, he may be lazy about choosing which booster shot he gets and where, but he is not lazy with his health reporting. Adam Kankren on the latest with boosters.
It's been a little bit confusing over the past, say, month or so. Right now, anybody who is 65 and older is eligible for a booster, an additional shot. Or if you are between the ages of, you know, essentially 18 and 64 and are either at high risk for severe COVID-19 or work in some kind of a job that exposes you to the potential for, you know, getting the virus, you know, to a higher degree, I guess, than normal. And then in addition, if you're immunocompromised, then you've been eligible for a booster for a while as well.
And then on top of that, there's also the J&J folks like you.
And then there's the J&J folks, which is a little bit different and has kind of made things further confusing. Because if you remember, that's a one-shot regimen, mm-hmm. right? So people got their first J&J shot. And when officials looked at the data, you know, again, a month ago, they came to the conclusion that with J&J, there were more concerns about kind of waning effectiveness there. That they said, look, you know, Johnson & Johnson could have been a two-shot regimen from the beginning. Why doesn't anybody who's gotten that just go out and get a second shot when you have the opportunity? So as you might imagine, it's a lot to explain, and it's a lot also for anybody who's thinking about, you know, can I get a booster? When can I get a booster to all take in?
And then to add to that, the FDA also looks poised now to recommend Pfizer boosters for everybody, for all adults, right? What's the latest thinking with that?
I think the idea there is that would actually make things a lot simpler, right? Look, with the mix and match where people can now get, you know, essentially any vaccine, no matter what they got their first time around, if the FDA authorizes this Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine, and we expect them to at some point, as soon as this week. If they do that, what that essentially means is everybody 18 and up is eligible to go and get their booster if they're 6 months out of their initial vaccination, right? So that makes it much simpler for the administration to message. It makes it much simpler for us to understand and to kind of give people advice on, hey, are you eligible? Should you go get it? Is it worth it? That's all a much more straightforward answer at this point.
Well, I was going to ask, like, what the reasoning is behind it. It sounds like you're saying it's probably mostly that this just sort of makes things, like, easier, clearer, less confusing for people. Or is there also, like, new data or anything like that?
Well, there is new data. I mean, if you remember, this all kind of started back in August. And if you remember then, the White House came out and they said, you know, we've looked at the data. We agree there's some concerns about, you know, waning effectiveness. We're going to make it so starting week of September 20th, everybody can get a booster shot, right? If you remember that, it was all adults. And there was, over the next several weeks, a lot of backlash to that because of a few things. One, the data that were available was not convincing to every health expert. You know, some people said, look, it looks like the data, you know, according to data, only people who are older or, you know, more vulnerable should get one. There was a lot of disagreement, even within the administration, on whether giving one to all adults at the time was justified. And then secondly, there was a lot of criticism because here in America, we're talking about giving out third doses when a lot of the rest of the world is still trying to get their first doses, right? So there was also that optics and humanitarian aspect of, you know, how we allocate those doses. So what ended up happening when it went to the advisory panels and the CDC, which ultimately made the decision, is they said, look, for now, we're going to make sure that it gets to the people who are most vulnerable, and then we'll reevaluate down the road. And that happened about a week ago. Pfizer came back and said, we'd like to ask you again to authorize this booster shot for all adults. And it looks like now, after having seen a little bit more extensive data, that the FDA and CDC are pretty close to doing that.
Looking back to that first announcement from the Biden administration, when they did say that it was going to be open for everybody in September, and then all of the ensuing, you know, confusion and back and forth and all of that stuff that's happened since then, do you think the Biden administration kind of botched this a little bit?
In a word, yes. From a messaging standpoint, there was a way to make it very simple, and then there was a way to make it complicated, right? And we chose perhaps the most complicated route. Now, there is a contingent inside the administration that will say, look, we promised from day one to follow what the science said and only follow what the science said. And that is essentially what the administration did. They looked at the data. They said it only clearly justifies giving boosters to these certain groups of people. And ultimately, that's where they went. Now there's more data. And so they're taking this additional step. That's the one position. There is another contingent, though, that believed that, look, boosters were inevitable for everybody at some point over the next few months. Why not get out as far ahead of it as possible, head off any kind of risk of a resurgence, head off any risk of a whole bunch of new breakthrough cases? Just do it because we are pretty reasonably sure that people are going to need it at some point down the road anyway. And you kind of see that argument playing out now, in which, you know, for the last several weeks, it's been very confusing just from a public messaging standpoint. And now in the last week, 2 weeks, we've seen COVID cases start to creep up again right before the holidays. And that's really kind of what the concern is did we get far enough out ahead of COVID with boosters to avoid yet another resurgence?
So we've been talking about federal recommendations for boosters here, but I want to talk about another layer to this, which is state and local governments, because over the past few weeks, with all of this confusion, we've seen a number of states move ahead with broad booster rollouts, recommending that all adults get them, despite the FDA not saying that yet. That's happened in California, Colorado, New Mexico, Arkansas, West Virginia, New York City. What do you make of these places essentially jumping the gun before the federal government?
What you're seeing here is a lot of restlessness and a fair degree of frustration with, again, the kind of confusing partial rollouts of these boosters. On the state level, these are governors who are going to be the most directly accountable to their constituents for what exactly is happening on the ground, right? And so when states are seeing these cases start to creep back up, right, when they're looking at the national data that, you know, even though things feel a lot better, you're still having more than 1,000 deaths from COVID every day, there is this kind of increasing nervousness, increasing anxiousness, especially as we get to the holidays here, that we're not doing everything we can to head off, you know, a big winter surge. And so after having kind of looked at the data, seeing no real major red flags, you have a lot of these states saying, I can't wait any longer. In terms of responsibility to my constituents, I feel like I can't wait for the federal government to catch up here. I'm just going to go ahead and say, if you want to get a booster, you should go and get it now. The second thing is that, look, this is also a consequence of how nebulous the federal guidelines are, right? If the CDC had come down and said, these select occupations, these select conditions, very rigidly, those are the only people who can get boosters, maybe the conversation now is a little bit different. But because there's such a gray zone, people are much more able to go out and say, yes, I'm justified in getting a booster. Let me go and do it now, even if, you know, it hasn't been 100% signed off by the federal government.
Hmm. Well, this is a weird question, and I guess maybe the gray zone thing explains it. But like, is it against any rules or any laws for these states to be recommending this, or people in these states to be getting boosters when maybe technically they shouldn't be yet?
That's a gray zone as well. And honestly, it's a question that the Biden administration absolutely does not want to answer. Mm-hmm. The more governors who come out here, and especially Democratic governors who come out ahead of the federal government, while the administration is still kind of going back and forth, the more awkward this conversation becomes. And so part of what you're seeing in the push this week to have the FDA sign off and have the CDC sign off on expanded boosters is to avoid kind of that lingering, drawn out awkwardness between state officials who say, you know, they need to push ahead on this for the sake of their own states and constituencies, and a federal government that is really you know, split over whether that should be happening and how fast they should be moving. So the hope is within the administration that they can kind of start to put a lot of these questions to bed by acting this week and expanding the boosters to all adults.
Adam Kankren, thanks so much for talking with me.
As always, always a pleasure.
Also, today, Florida is now officially a red state. Republicans have taken a slight voter registration edge over Democrats, and just another sign that the state is moving away from its two-decade-old reputation as the nation's largest battleground state. Voter registration data collected by the state and shared with Politico shows that there are now 6,035 more voters registered as Republicans than Democrats out of 14.3 million active registered voters. Each party has more than 5.1 million voters. The numbers mark more bad news for Democrats as they try to knock off rising national GOP star Governor Ron DeSantis next year. And as housing and consumer costs rise across the country, the Pentagon is pumping money into new housing allowances and food security programs for struggling military families. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin announced the moves Wednesday afternoon during a brief news conference at the Pentagon, saying they, quote, won't solve all the economic worries that our military families face, but they are important steps. Specifically, the Pentagon will temporarily raise the basic allowance for housing in areas that have had a 10% increase in rental costs this year and extend temporary lodging expense reimbursements so military families have more time to find a home. Subscribe to Politico Dispatch wherever you get your podcasts, and if you can, leave us a rating and review. I'm Jeremy Siegel. Thanks for listening.